I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1...
This is Paul McGann.
The Eighth Doctor, you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. Go and throw yourself under a bus.
I didn't mean to say that. He told me to say that.
Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Witten. Did you just say womp womp? And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I like it with the helmet on.
And Keir Hansen.
And that's why, to this day, I can't eat cotton candy.
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again.
Welcome to a special episode of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we take a brief moment of our listeners' precious time to reflect on all the brief moments of our listeners' time that we've taken, and relish the fact that through some bizarre alignment of the heavenly bodies, three complete dorks in America have been able to share their love of a British science fiction program for full 5 years, to meet both fellow appreciators and celebrities alike in mutual appreciation of that program, traveled thousands of miles, stood among tens of thousands of fans in shared celebration, and then prattled on about these experiences for 200 podcast installments without the authorities taking our high-speed connections away. My name is Keir. I am your host at GPR, and joining me in the studio for this bicentennial... Wow, prefixes are hard. Bicentennial celebration is my partner in time, Jay Witten. Jay, how are you, sir?
I am doing outstanding. How about yourself?
Outstanding as well. And probably standing somewhere out on her own is the third member of our dynamic duo, Haley Malley. Haley, how are you?
Pretty good. Better with prefixes than others, I guess.
Yeah, they're tough.
Well, this week we are honored and honestly a little humbled to reach a milestone that we've personally praised a select few other podcasts for accomplishing over the years, our 200th episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. From living rooms to convention halls, from water cooler discussions to sit-down conversations with actors, directors, and writers, from web host to questionable web host, we've grown with our listeners and contributors. Now, out of our toddlerhood and into the obnoxious young kid years, we've got a long way to go, but a definite fondness for what we see behind us.
Yeah, yeah, without question. It's been a good ride, and we've just officially kind of broken in the engine, I think, if you want to put it in that parlance.
Yeah, we are now out of the manufacturer's warranty and all on our own.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, repair bills are entirely on us, especially on that web host front. We've gotten some contributions from some listeners and past contributors and things. We'll make sure that we get to all those as well. But I figured we'd also each of us take an opportunity to be able to reflect a little bit on what the cast has given back to us in terms of experiences. Maybe just in terms of what it's been like working in a fandom like this with the folks that we've met and had an opportunity to work with. So I figured, you know, we do a little quiet introspective time, if you will. But Haley, since you're the sophomore on the block, I should say, I'm not going to call you a freshman. You definitely cut your teeth.
Okay.
But kind of your thoughts on the GPR experience. You've been with us for, you know, over 100 episodes. So yep. More than half our lifespan.
Yep. I double-checked. I did some research for this podcast. My first one was 84.
Whoa, she did research. It is an anniversary episode.
Special occasions, you know. So I joined on 84. I remembered doing the cast, but I didn't remember what number it was. 84, and that was our live from Vegas, well, live-ish from Vegas kind of chatter cast. That was my first cast of GPR. And we, it was just us hanging out in a hotel talking about what we were expecting from an upcoming season. And
how wrong we eventually would become.
As is tradition.
Get used to that now.
And, you know, I was trying to think, you know, what are the highlights of our little GPR career for me? And I think it has to be the WhoCons we've gone to. Spending time with other fans of the show and, you know, stars of the show and whatnot. I think that's got to be the most fun. Just, you know, being down in a hotel lobby at 2 a.m, maybe a little drunk, with a lot of other people that might be, you know, a little drunk, and talking about a show that we love.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the idea for the cast, I think. And to do it in person every once in a while is a good time.
Oh, yeah.
With varying levels of drunkenness throughout. Drunkenness optional.
Or not, you know.
Or not.
Mandatory.
Although this is, you know, this is a celebratory episode. So, I mean, I know Haley's got her glass literally in hand right now. Mine literally in hand right now. Jay, are you taken care of?
Oh, yeah. No.
I think Jay's being a responsible adult.
Okay, yeah, well.
As responsible as I can be.
Moderately responsible, yeah.
Somebody's got to drive this bus.
Yeah. But speaking of those cons and all those things, we should definitely make sure that we acknowledge the folks that gave us a little bit of kudos as this event is rolling through, and just kind of thanks for helping make 200 episodes and 5 years of this cast possible. You know, even at the point between seasons, during hiatus periods, and things like that, to still have plenty to be able to discuss and plenty to be able to enjoy and plenty to be able to discuss, to chat with others offline, you know, beyond the cast, is really a testament to the listeners and the folks that have helped us too. So, who are some of the folks we definitely need to make sure that we give kudos to?
Well, I mean, I think it would be remiss if we didn't start off by saying, you know, a special thank you to our gone but not forgotten partner, Melissa Mazza, who, without whom this show never really would have gotten off the ground. She was there through the difficult to listen to first episodes and really helped shape the podcast and turn it into what it eventually would become. So yeah, definitely a big thank you to her.
Right. Yep. Without question.
We also are part of a podcast network, the Gunna Geek Network, as you hear at the top of every episode. And we especially want to thank Stephen John Drew, the network owner, and all the other guys and gals on the podcast network who have supported us and participated with us in geekery of every kind. Mm-hmm. So thank you to all those folks.
Yeah, helped us in the technical side, too, with a lot of things.
Yep. Yeah.
As the cast grows.
Like tracking down Kier's mystery buzz.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Thank you, Tascam, for your lovely preamp. It's a beautiful piece of equipment. But also speaking of behind the scenes stuff and helping the cast happen, we should definitely take a moment to thank our unofficial fourth cast member and our official GPR bestie, because she's there for us at all the cons and everything in between. Half the time she's a chauffeur, half the time she's an equipment jockey.
I kind of like to think of her as room mother, like you had when you were in elementary school.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
She's our chaperone. She really is our chaperone. Ray is our rock.
Yeah.
And without her, half the people who have met us over the course of the last few years would never have had that opportunity, because either A, we would have gotten lost.
One of us would still be sitting at an airport somewhere.
I'm fairly certain that one of us would have wound up in jail at some point and probably would still be sitting there.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes.
We'll save that story for, you know, ask us in person sometime.
Right. That's a lobby con discussion. Oh, but speaking of cons, Jay.
Yeah. Definitely a huge shout out to all the con runners and staffers. Ken Deep, Billy Davis, and Andre Tessier of Elihu, who we will be seeing in under 2 months.
Yep.
Very excited about that one. Oni Hartstein. Is that how you say it?
Yep. Okay. Hartstein. Yep.
And James Harknell of Regen Who, Sean Lyon of Gallifrey One, huge thank you to all of you guys for all of the memories and the help and everything that you've given us. Just changed our lives.
Very much so. Yeah, giving us the opportunities to work with the staff, the handlers, the vendors, and everyone else who make those cons as incredible and memorable as they are. Yeah.
And while we're talking about cons, we also want to thank all of the Doctor Who actors, writers, producers, directors who have taken the time to do an interview with us at one of these cons, or especially those who have taken the time to just hang out with us down in the lobby and chat away, or in a hotel room party somewhere talking about, you know, British traffic and politics and that kind of thing.
On or off the record, yeah. And just sort of reminding us about how gracious the community is on all sides, both from the fans up and from the talent down. Yeah. But we definitely want to make sure that we, you know, being a podcast that are out there for a listener's benefit, we want to thank those frequent contributing listeners who have helped GPR be what it has been for 200 episodes and going strong. I'm going to run down names here, and I know I'm going to miss a bunch of you, but it's all right. I got you in my heart, even if I can't.
And it's entirely Keir's fault.
It is.
Totally.
It is, because I wrote this. But we'll thank Richard Kodiak, Levin, Bert Soleil, Tunnel, Will Rumdaddy Hernandez, Michael Ferguson over at Companions the Doctor. I want to thank Matt Wesley, Sean Hutchings, Alyssa Frank over at Whovian Feminism, Mike Solko of the Time Scoop, and now another podcast he's co-hosting on called This Is Where It Gets Complicated, Catherine Sullivan, Ian McCann, Ben Rush, Nicole Marie, Ray J. Edwards, and many, many more that we neglect or completely forget to mention because, well, you know, memory. It's a tricky, tricky thing.
Yes, yeah.
As my turn for the little reflection here, we considered at one point having, this is ways back when we were trying to think of cast topics to have between broadcast points, you know, between seasons. So we said, all right, we've got a break before the Christmas season, Christmas special, or maybe post-Christmas special, or we got a break before the next series starts up. Well, what are we going to do? We start loading up the calendar with topics that we had maybe touched upon. And said, "All right, that's a good thing that we can blow out further, and we're gonna talk about that for a full 45 minutes later on or something." Well, at one point, early on, we said something about I don't think we ever actually recorded the episode about how the show itself has sort of changed our outlook on things. You know, either our personal philosophies. We've done some things on family dynamics and how it affects our households and things like that. But really just kind of, you know, what the Doctor Who experience and being a fan of the show has done for you, both within the fan communities and how it extends into the rest of your life. And I can't distinguish between the two because they've become so blurred. You know, the stuff that we've done here in this cast, the opportunities that we've had, the people that we've met, the relationships with each other, with the two of you and the chances we've had to fling ourselves around the country. And then as a result of that, you know, that love of the program, I personally I've made some major, major changes in my life and driven a lot of the things that I've done. From my proposal to my wife to everything else in between, to the structures standing in my backyard and everything else. So it is all encompassing. And this cast is one of those opportunities for me to be able to share with the two of you on any given week the fact that this is a lot more to me personally than a television program that we chose to talk about every once in a while. This is part of a philosophy, of a mindset. And a lot of that is reflected obviously in the ideals and the standards that our titular character represents. You know, that's something I personally gravitate towards. But it's also just a matter of the fact that the more cons that we went to, the larger convention that we would go to, and not just attend, but be an integral part of, be on panels, moderate panels, lead discussions, do live casts, talk with listeners and things, where I realized that it's something that has its own its own persona, its collective persona, that hive mind that's really more of a hive heart. At times, I don't even know if that expression exists, but it does now. Damn it! And that means an immense deal to me. So, for as long as my net connection stands, I plan on continuing to talk about the program, but also just being, you know, right alongside, shoulder to shoulder with anybody else who shares that same kind of passions. And I'm so appreciative of the fact that two of you do, and gives me an opportunity to share that as often as you guys want to chat about it. So I thank the two of you.
Yeah. Well, we did get one bit of feedback that we actually wanted to share. Our good friend and occasional punching bag, Star Pie, from various Gonna Geek podcasts. I think he's on like 80%.
Good-natured nemesis.
I think he's on like 80% of the podcasts on the network now, something like that. So he took some time to actually record something for us that we wanted to share with you guys. So let's go ahead and pull that one up real quick.
I'm Stargate Pioneer from GonnaGeek.com. I'm not in studio or a host or even a presenter of Gallifrey Public Radio, but I wanted to pass along my congratulations to Gallifrey Public Radio for their outstanding accomplishment. But what's that? You don't want to hear me talking? You want a story instead? Okay then. That's what I'll do. I will tell you a story. These people who lived in waiting to hear from Gallifrey Public Radio, all these people whose mobile phones and computers devoted and sacrificed themselves for the latest episode. Can you hear them singing? Oh, you like to think you're a companion. You're not a companion. You're just a presenter, eaten out with jealousy and envy and longing for a life in the TARDIS. You feed on them, on the enablers of liquid refreshment, of adult beverages and podcast editing, sleep deprivation. So, come on then, give us more. Give us more podcasts. But I hope you've got a lot more creativity, because we're in a months-long hiatus and your audience craves Doctor Who content. I walked away from the last series. I watched all of New and Classic Who. I listened to all of the back GPR back catalog. And I counted the moments second by second until no Doctor Who remained. No timey-wimey. No regenerations. Just me. I walked into podcasts where the audio was created by somebody who didn't know how to edit. And I've watched podcast pod fade, and television shows get canceled. I have seen things you wouldn't believe. I have lost things you will never understand. And I know things, secrets that must be told, and knowledge that must be spoken on a podcast. Knowledge that will make presenter companions perform. Come on, then! Give us more podcasts! Give us more, baby! Record it! Record all the podcasts! Thank you for putting up with me and my attempt at some 200th podcast gift creativity. This is Stargate Pioneer saying congratulations, Gallifrey Public Radio, on 200 episodes. Literally for years, Gallifrey Public Radio has been a staple of mine to load on my iPod Classic and press play in my car as I'm backing up out of the garage from my commute to work each week. Hearing the start of the Gonna Geek pre-roll, followed by Kier's intro, voiced over by Jay, almost has to happen for me to get through each week. I'm proud to be part of the same podcast network on GonnaGeek.com, And I thank the GPR crew for all the opportunities for me to contribute, give feedback to, and guest host over the years. Like the GPR crew, I'm getting a little bit antsy for some new Doctor Who content, but thanks to GPR, Doctor Who is never far from my mind each week. Wasn't that a nice story? Here's hoping for 200 more.
Oh, man. Well, thank you very much, Starpie, for that fun look back into what has come before and the fun-filled take on a very, very episode that happened. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That is definitely an episode of the show we watched, and that was a tribute to it.
Yes.
I guess that brings it to my turn to take a look back at everything that that this show has brought to me. It's really funny looking back on it and realizing that, I mean, this show has been a part of my life for, I mean, this podcast has been, you know, a weekly religion for me for, you know, over 4 years now. It started out as just a hobby, something to honestly just almost a way to backdoor my way into some of my friends' podcasts. And it has become so much more. I mean, as Haley mentioned, the chances to go and sit down with some of the talent from the show. I mean, yeah, hanging out with Paul McGann on his birthday, teaching Noel Clark the term swamp ass, hearing Terry Molloy complain about UKIP.
I wish we'd left the mics on for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, yeah, just all of the memories that have come about because of the opportunities it's provided. But, you know, I mean, looking back, though, it's not so much the... Doctor Who as a program has really helped to shape my life as well. You know, I mean, I've gone on record talking about how this is something that I enjoy sharing with my kids. You know, the way that it's changed the way I look at things, the experiences I've had, you know, looking at it through their eyes, things like that. It's incredible the kind of things that can, you know, they can come up watching the show, and we've discussed that before. Where, you know, sci-fi is a great way to kind of shine the lens on social injustices or things like that, and not offend anyone. And this show has a great talent of doing that. It's like, hey, look, here's this problem. If we give if we make it a furry alien instead of, you know, this social class, then people can examine the issue instead of the politics behind it. And you know, it really does work tremendously well. And I really, getting into a conversation with somebody today, looking back over the past 4 years, my whole life has been drastically changed. And, you know, I am not the same person I was when I started this podcast, you know, over 4 years ago. I'm absolutely a better person for it, for all of the experiences I've had at conventions, for, you know, running into listeners out in the wild. That's the craziest thing, that I've, you know, being recognized at the movies because somebody hears my voice and they're like, wait, I know that voice. And
that has never happened to me.
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, but it's, it's one of those things. It's just, it's a humbling experience, and it's such, I mean, you meet someone and instantly you have this connection. You know, it's, oh, you watch this show too. Hey, let me get your opinion on this. And it is one of those things that's life-changing to have this kind of experience. And I have to thank each and every one of our listeners for giving us the chance to make it this far, because we don't do this just to hear ourselves talk. It's your feedback that really drives us. It's, you know, getting those emails that say, hey, did you think about this point of view from it? Or, hey, I really enjoyed the way that you said this. And those are the things that really keep us going, the things that bring us back here week after week to do this, despite how crazy busy our schedules are, what we have going on. You know, it's great to be able to come and share the time with you guys.
Yeah, well said. I think something that we can all pretty much agree on is that at the moments where it stops being a podcast and starts becoming sort of an extension to the Whovian community, where it's no longer just a matter of putting an audio segment out there every week so that people can download it, and maybe we'll get some feedback on it. Maybe some people will have something to critique or correct or chime in on or mirror, and that's fine. But the moment where it suddenly becomes something where, as with many online communities, where you start realizing the real people behind it on both sides, from the production side to the listener side and everywhere in between, are those moments that really stand out, because you realize that this is something where just like if you have a coworker who shares interests and you look forward to those opportunities to be able to break away from your work environment and discuss something that's of genuine enjoyment with somebody that is normally, within that scope. Now you've got an opportunity to be able to go, and whether you're going to a local convention that's just down the other side of town, or if you're headed to think about when we did the I'm thinking of the Phantom events where they would do the simulcasts. Of like the 50th anniversary episode, something, and you realize that you are surrounded by individuals who are there to appreciate the same new piece of Doctor Who material that you're about to. You're all equally excited. The chatter is going on all over the place, not just with the people you walked in with, but with everyone sitting within a 30-foot radius that can hear the sound of your voice, and you're all just completely abuzz with it.
Yeah,
that's. That's the point where the work aspect of putting together this podcast completely stops, and it becomes just a matter of you are now just one facet of an extremely well cut fandom jewel.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's an honor to be in there at all.
Mm-hmm. Or even those moments where it's not a whole crowd, but just that one person that, you make an offhanded reference, you make some comment about like, don't blink, and somebody that you see the recognition in their eyes, or if you're sitting there and just happen to tap a 4-beat on the table while you're eating lunch and their head snaps up. Like, I know that sound. Like, it's, I mean, those moments are just as precious too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So if we've in any way been able to, we've occasionally done the episodes that had to do with bringing new listeners in or working your family members in, whether it's your kids or your significant other who isn't really a sci-fi watcher. So you really want to get them. Although, why would you be with a significant other who wasn't? Anyway, that's but off topic. But those, hopefully we've in some small fashion been able to maybe either align with you or commiserate with you or arm you with some ammunition to take your fandom one step farther and just get that much more out of it, because we do. I mean, talking about it as often as we do, we don't get tired of this. We don't get tired of the show. We don't get tired of the topic. We don't even get tired of the episodes that aren't, or the stories that aren't our personal favorites, because it's still something to discuss, and that immersion is what is so energizing, from conversations with other podcasters to conversations with folks that said, I just found the show, and when I mentioned it to so-and-so, they said, yeah, well, you know what? There's these three idiots over in this podcast I listened to that said that if you want to find out some more, you might want to try these ones. And, well, granted, this was a conversation they had before Netflix. I'm not going to get into that whole discussion. But yeah, I personally relish the moments where I know that something that we've had an opportunity to just talk about amongst ourselves has benefited someone else in the same pursuits, or or the feedback that we've gotten, the emails that we've gotten that have said, as Jay referenced, you know, we get some folks who say, hey, did you consider this particular angle? Or did you know about this extended area of the content? Or did you know that so-and-so did a documentary where they discussed such and such? And they give something back to us that we probably, just because of scheduling and the volume of research that we do for the other topics, would never have been able to stumble across on our own. So right. That's the full circle. I absolutely live for that.
Yeah. So we hope that in the course of 200 episodes that we've been able to somehow enrich your life, or at least your enjoyment of the program. And hopefully we can continue to do that moving forward.
Or we at least made you giggle once.
Yeah, we'd be.
Once. Yeah. My mother made me giggle once. Once.
My goal is to have somebody tell me, you know what, because of your podcast, I was able to win an argument. That's, once we've hit that, that's success right there.
You know, that reminds me of the time we did the Who trivia, and we were arguing with the proctor about the answers until we realized how badly we had beaten everybody else.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, we got some coupons.
We did. We got coupons. And I still use the cup I got with that coupon. Oh, man.
Well, so with 200 notches in the belt, there's not much of a belt left. So we're going to have to get a new belt and start making our marks on that one as well. But it has been an absolute pleasure talking with the two of you for the last couple of many a years. And I think we've got a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, but... I think we're about ready to jump into the news. How about you guys?
We will do some
news.
Okay,
we can do that.
Well, for those of you on the better side of the pond, more immediate side of the pond, you've got an opportunity to do a little fuller appreciation of the upcoming Power of the Daleks animated release than we do here stateside. And that's because the British Film Institute has decided they're going to put a whole special event coming around on the 5th of November as the actual, like, to the day, 50th anniversary of the broadcast of Power of the Daleks. So what they're going to be doing is doing a cinematic screening. Tickets will be going on sale on 4th of October. We'll make sure that we've got the link in the post here so that you've got an opportunity to take a shot at it. It's where they will be airing the three animated episodes that have been restored. So you'll be able to appreciate those. And I believe anyone who's going to be attending will be getting a copy of the DVD releasing for the same date. So yeah, that's a definite great theatrical opportunity. You talk about being around other like-minded Whovians. That should be a great gathering.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm incredibly jealous at this point. I mean,
Do you know if there are any plans to do a stateside theatrical release like they've done for some other things?
Phantom hasn't jumped into this one. I don't know if this has the recognizability to be able to warrant that kind of a ticket sale volume.
You might come across it in like the much bigger cities, like, you know, you might have it in New York or LA or something, like where you have the population center to warrant it. But I don't see a wide scale release. No.
Yeah. I think what may be more likely is they might try to either to go to the BFI or go to any of the other entities, try and get the opportunity for a much more small screening, whether it be within, you know, the bookstore screenings or something of that sort, so that you can, you know, pack 150 people in for it. So you're not actually doing it in a cinema or a theatrical setting. And then obviously it's the same kind of a retail location where you would then be able to purchase or acquire the DVDs for take home and that kind of thing. So they'd see it as sort of an extension of a marketing opportunity, but probably not in a standard, you know, cinematic, you know, distribution or something of that sort. Just my thought. I mean, maybe, well, you know, 5th of November, I wonder if there's something that they're going to try to pull together for Long Island Who and other cons post post-fifth, because that'd be a great gathering. That'd be a great opportunity to be able to sit in with a couple thousand people to watch. I mean, granted, it takes a while. I mean, even just the three animated episodes, that 25 minutes a clip. So you're in there for 75 minutes minimum.
Well, with the tech issues last time, it ended up being about the full hour to watch the Doctor Who episode.
True. Yep. But this would be, hopefully what they would want to do is be able to round out the story and then be able to complete the set by airing it with the one retained episode, so you get the full story. So
maybe they'd have an intermission.
Pee break.
Well,
oh, but the event that's actually taking place over there in the UK is also going to have a Q&A session with Anneke Willis and Fraser Hines. So that's added incentive.
Yeah, I was going to say that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, which is nothing. The tickets themselves are only like £23 a piece. I mean, if you can't, you know, for two tickets, if you can't part with £46, I mean, that's come on. Plus you're taking home the DVD. I mean, exactly. Right there.
Yeah.
Done and done. I'm on a plane.
Right. Well, the next news article that we've got here, and this was a lot of fun coming across. So Whovians are nothing if not inventive when it comes to hand waving. We've talked about this content, this topic at length, but somebody has just come across what is probably one of the oldest plot holes in the show. So I'm not sure where, like, who it is that we should give credit for here. It's Steam Delta on, I want to say it's Reddit.
Yeah, it's probably a Reddit post. That seems to be where they got a chance to really hash these things out to the nth degree. Yeah.
So one of the big questions is always, well, you know, if the Doctor can travel anywhere in time, then how does he, you know, why is it every time he runs into another Time Lord or goes back to Gallifrey, it's always in, you know, in sequence? It's never, oh, well, I'm going to go back to the day before the thing I went to 30 years ago or whatever. So
the
basic premise of this theory here is that all the TARDISes,
TARDISes, it has to be TARDISes. It's plural of an acronym.
They are powered by the Eye of Harmony, which is a black hole in the heart of Gallifrey. So the theory states that they are quantum locked with the Eye of Harmony, so they cannot travel out of sync with Gallifrey. So anytime they go back, they are constantly in sync with Gallifrey and, by extension, other TARDISes.
Right. And granted, even that source of power has been altered, you know, as we get later into the series, or actually into the program. They decided to, once Gallifrey was gone, you had to have, the power drawn directly from the time vortex. And they said, but even in those instances, there were ways to be able to correct that as well. So we're never going to see, well, as far as we can determine, it has not been done yet. You would have something like Capaldi suddenly stumbling up against his future 16th incarnation or something of that sort. Because at that point, they say the Time Lords could have met in any order prior to that point, but as a result of the time lock, there weren't any other Time Lords to meet during that period. So,
and it also points out that people that time travel without TARDISes, like River or Jack, can meet out of order because they aren't locked the way that the TARDISes are.
Yep. It's an interesting theory, and granted, it's all semantics and it's all, you know, just over appreciation of the material. But isn't that what it's all about at the end of the day? Is having these kind of discussions? Because I guaranteed of all of the things, I would take anything that has to do with film or television on Reddit in particular. If that were a call that a shoebox of marbles. All the discussions on Reddit about film and television were all these marbles within a box. Maybe two of them. Two of those marbles that filled that box probably had anything to do with the depth of thought that the writers or producers put in to the scripts as they were presenting them. The rest of it are just tangential theories and overworked hypotheses that stem from those original two marbles mating. mating marbles. So that's, but this is one of those ones where you look at it and in its simplicity, I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, I'll take that. And sure, there are some kind of rough edges on the theory, and we'll go ahead and we'll post the article here that where this gets hashed out, and some of the comments that follow do, just like Reddit, take it apart even farther. You can go back and you can watch the original subreddit thread too and see where they pick it apart. But in general, it's just, it's a nice, clean little synopsis. I dig it, personally.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's always nice when they try to take a single problem in the show and come up with a lovely, elegant solution for it. It's when they try to come up with a single theory to solve many problems in a show that you get the convoluted mess that sometimes crops up in these types of discussions.
But on the flip side of it, though, this is a solution to a single problem, or it's a single posed solution to this singular problem, that the ripple effect, and you say, well, how does that then affect other individuals who have crossed over the Doctor's timeline through multiple iterations of him, or people like River who have backed through his chronological sequence or his linear sequence? Well, this kind of cleans that up too. Well, to a certain degree. It just makes it that much prettier.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not flawless, but it's fun.
Yes.
And that's what I like about it. I wish people had more of these to be able to toy around with rather than the people that just bash and bash and bash and bash.
Very true. But some of the new stuff that we have coming up is Class will be premiering next month.
Next
actually.
Month. Yeah. We're not exactly sure of the date yet still.
Yeah. Which drives me nuts when the BBC pulls this crap. But
but yeah, we don't want to like watch it or anything. Don't tell us when it airs.
No, we don't have busy lives that we have to plan stuff around. No.
Right. Right. But from the official Twitter handle for the program, BBC Class. So make sure that you're following that now. If you're not, what the heck is wrong with you? I mean, they only have 5,400 followers. 5,400 followers for Class right now.
Yeah, that
boggles my mind. But they tweeted the other day, single picture, got a quick little sort of a cropped photo of Miss Quill, the mysterious Miss Quill. And she's sporting kind of a very alien-looking handgun there. With a lot of calculations on the backboard, and the quote from the thing just says, "War is coming." So, right off the bat, we're saying, okay, well, we're not just going to meet characters. They're going to have some adventures. They're going to run around and, oh, look what fell through the rift, or, oh, look what strange thing landed out in the middle of Swindon, or, we're dealing with full-out war and weaponry in the classroom and complicated maths. So, our personal favorite, maths.
Exactly.
You can be like a good Whovian and overanalyze the heck out of this, or you can just be a surface level Whovian and say, "That's a really killer looking coat that she's wearing in that shot." Or hey, they've actually designated the official logo for the show now. If you're not catching that in the top left corner, so that's good things to appreciate. So
yeah, so that's. I think that this is going to be all kinds of fun once it actually hits. And hey, then we'll actually have content to talk about.
Well, the timing is perfect. I mean, we're what did you say? 52, 53 days away
from Elihu.
As we're recording tonight from Elihu.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we'll be probably a couple of episodes under our belt for Class. We'll have the Power of the Daleks, completed DVD set, into our hands. Yeah, there's going to be a ton to be able to discuss. Or even if we're not just discussing, just look at each other and say, "Did you? Yeah, did you? Yeah, I watched it too." Whee! And you just have your moment.
We watched the thing.
And proceed from there accordingly.
Yes, exactly. So,
I think the equations have something to do with electricity.
I don't know. I was looking them over. They're pretty simplistic.
Yeah.
I mean, just in terms of their representation, it's nothing near the stuff they wrote behind Capaldi.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look further into the article, you'll see Capaldi in front of a chalkboard, and it's like,
yeah, those are scary equations.
Yeah. You can definitely tell
when they're using that many Greek letters, that's when it gets scary. Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, we're not using regular letters in this math. We're using Greek letters now.
Do you mean maths?
Yes, maths.
Yes. Okay. More than one math. There are multiple maths involved. No, this one strictly looked algebraic.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything that there were no derivatives. There's nothing implying calculus or even geometry on here. This looked pretty straightforward. Or could have been physics. Could have just been.
That's what I'm thinking.
Physics.
Well, based on physics. The letters they're using, it's making me think some sort of electric physics.
Okay. Variations on R. Okay.
That could be something to do with resistance. And then P would be power. A would be area. Oh, P equals RA over L is an equation in physics. I didn't notice there was an L there.
A amplitude? No.
No. Area over length. It's got to do with the size of a wire. Because you've got the area of the wire
perimeter,
and the length of the wire.
Radius, area, length.
This is this is fascinating, you guys.
It is. Man, the audio to go along with this.
Look at the
Join
picture.
Join us next week.
Next week we're going to derive these equations.
Oh, God.
Therefore, ...
I've got a thing that I've just got to...
It's really great on an audio podcast, let me tell you.
All right. Well, I think that it is about time to wrap this up. Next week, we will be coming back with our classic rewatch. We'll be rewatching The Mind Robber. So...
Already done. Mine robbed. Consider it robbed.
There's nothing left to rob at this point.
That will be the A story. The B story will be the maths.
We'll cut away from the discussion every like 10 minutes or so to hear Kaylee scribbling on a notepad. No, that doesn't
check. This is why it seems like I don't talk much on the podcast. It's because they edit out all my math discussions every week.
Seriously, we record for 5 hours a night. It's all on the floor.
So as you can see from the chart here, resistance actually is futile.
All right. Well, this has been episode 200 of Gallifrey Public Radio.
Woo!
I feel like I need one of those party popper things. Until next week, this is Jay saying thank you so much for helping us get this far. It has been a hell of a ride.
And this is Kier also saying thank you and saying I am and always will be the optimist. The hoper of far-flung hopes, and the dreamer of improbable dreams.
And this is Haley saying with less eloquence, thank you to everyone who's listening and participating with us in this thing that we love. And we look forward to hearing from all of you again in the future.
We will see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook @facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2016.
It says you're muted there, champ. There you go.
There you go.
You want to try that again? I went to go get a drink in the middle of it. That's it. I don't even want to listen to the damn song. Boo! All right. We'll try it again. Yeah, they got geometry going on behind Capaldi. I got some differential equations.
Yeah, they got calculus back there.
Yeah.
Got something and that might be a benzene ring.
I think they were just trying to do some Gallifreyan symbols. Just happened to be a benzene ring, too. Okay, so we're going to get into organic chem
here.
No,
not over there, right above his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
right next
to
the triangle?
You've got hexagons in Gallifreyan writing, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was all circles and lines.
I think they opened a bunch of textbooks and said, let's put some random scribbles behind them.
Hey, this looks fascinating. Put that on the chalkboard.
I never noticed. There's an arrow going from the triangle to space plus time.
Yes. Yes, because Pythagoras actually traveled through time.
It follows.
Well, so space plus time equals. There's nothing that simple.
Equals Capaldi. Notice he's standing there?
Yeah.
Well, I have actually been multitasking during the podcast, and I am now booked for my flight to Long Island. You're going to cut this out of the After Dark, right?
No, we're going to let strangers pick you up from the airport.
What's your flight number, and what color is your bag?